You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 274 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle and Ben, and we're back and we're ready to talk some golf tonight's episode. Hopefully over the weekend you watched some basketball, maybe you bet on some golf, had a lot of fun with the NCAA tournament. Had two different golf tournaments going on this weekend. Hopefully you made some bets with Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. And I hope you use your coupon code BLEAV, BLEAV, and got that 50% welcome bonus.
Yes.
It's silly not to. It's essentially free money. You get to go play around with. There's tons of basketball to bet on. There's the online casino. There's tons of stuff. Baseball. The college baseball, and then opening day is only what, 3-4 weeks away?
Yeah, it's not too far away. I mean, they got the World Baseball Classic going on right now, and
mid-April is typically when.
As a matter of fact, while we were recording, America's playing Japan for the championship.
How about that? Did you see Ken Griffey said he may come back and defend his batting average or something like that? He's joking around. He's going to come back and play in the next one. But anyway, you could bet on it. I mean, you could bet on it with Bet Online. There's the best place you could possibly go to make your sports bet. If that's what you want to do, you want to play, have fun. Bet Online. It's where the game starts. Ben, this weekend, one of the cooler tournaments, I feel like. Is this considered an elevated event? I don't even know.
No, this is just the match play. No, because you're not required to play in it, because that's what we're going to talk about. One guy pulling
out. That's what we're going to talk about. Yep. The very last year that they will have, I guess they could renew the contract, but their contract's up at Austin Country Club for the Dell Accenture match play, whatever you want to call it. It's the match play. The only time they do it all year. And
it used to be called the World Match Play, and then they got sponsored. It's still a WGC event.
Yeah, exactly. So, mixed reviews on. I didn't realize that there's some players that just didn't like this place. Justin Thomas being one of them.
Yeah,
who just basically decided not to play because of that. So,
which to me is huge. Number one, the money. Number two, it's a WGC event. Like you get points. You get more points. You get FedEx Cup points, and he still pulled out of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked by that. I didn't know that this was a not very well liked course. Did you?
No, you and I have talked to. We've had guests on the show that we've talked about. That have played this course, which is apparently hard to do because apparently the members don't want anybody playing it. So it's supposed to be like a regal thing to be able to play this course. You and I have talked about how it looks cool on television. When I've been out, when my sister went to school at Austin, I was like, what are chances getting on there? She's, you're not getting on there. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, hey, sorry, you know, go play the local muni. They're not going to let you on up there. And so, I just was under the impression that this was a place that players, number one, loved to play because they talked about how they were glad when they moved it. You know, that used to be out in Phoenix, I think, is where they did it. And so they were glad they moved it to Austin, and it's a cool town, and they loved hanging out, and they loved doing the event, and they've gone to the new, that pod system where, you got four guys that all play against each other round robin in order to move on. So it's almost like the NCAA tournament that we're already watching. And so everybody all seemed to be cool. And then this year, like when they said, well, this is the last year and we may be moving it somewhere else, we may not be renewing Austin Country Club, you got various players that are like, good. And then JT pulls out of it completely. And I was like, okay, I didn't know this was a thing. I didn't know guys didn't like it.
What do they not like about it?
I don't know. They didn't expand on it. JT was the main one just because he's the biggest name. And he pulled out. But, like, there are other guys that, like, their feelings aren't hurt that they're not in the field of 64 in order to play it. So it's just kind of odd that that's a take. That I don't know how many years they've had it here at Austin Country Club, but this hasn't been brought up at all in previous years. And then this year, it's just like JT's like, you know what, the heck with it. And as I said, a lot of points can be got from this. He's a fairly decent match play guy. He's higher seeded, so he'd have been playing against lower seeds because he would have advanced a little bit probably easier than other guys. So I'm shocked, but apparently he has an issue with the course.
So is it the course or the tournament? Period. That's
not
going to happen.
Was the course? No, the
John
tournament.
John Rahm says it's too bad that this is the last edition of this tournament. I obviously love match play, so I'm hoping maybe it's a 1 year deal and we get a match play event back on the schedule.
Oh.
So is it so much the course, or is it, I mean, I guess Justin Thomas pulled out because, yeah. I don't know, is that this kind of strange. I'm just now catching this. This is the final year of the WGC match play at Austin Country Club, and almost certainly the last event of the WGC era. Mm-hmm. Austin Country Club apparently asked the tour for more money, which was met with resistance. And it wasn't long before the situation deteriorated beyond repair. There's no match play event on the schedule for the 2024 season. And despite signs that the tour is looking to bring it back at a later date, there currently are no firm plans. So
wow.
There you go.
And also when it's just Justin Thomas, number 32 ranked Justin Rose also skipping the event.
So, that sucks for us. That sucks for us. Cause match play was one of the cool different type things that that kind of differentiate that made
yeah.
it made this tournament in the limbo of the players and the Masters that it was a good tournament because of the format. And
mm-hmm.
I personally love Austin Country Club. I love they got a little bit of everything. They got the crazy elevation changes. You got awesome drivable par fours that create a lot of drama. Some shorter par threes, some longer par threes. So it's not just an Austin Country Club thing. It's the match play in general. I mean, as far as
JT pulling out, he did go on to, I'm reading the extended quote. He said, "Nothing against Austin Country Club or the course. I've played there six times, five times. I've just played absolutely awful. I just don't feel like I play this course good. And the way I've been playing as of late, I wanted to play a place that gave me some positivity, not a place that I can't play very well."
Hmm.
So, he's trying to get some momentum going to the Masters, it looks like. So I guess he just didn't want that. I guess he didn't want to go out there and some guys feel that way about like regular season match play where, they may be doing something different. Cause I mean, you can win holes with bogeys and that's just frowned upon in tournament play, but a win's a win, hole to hole, whether you double it and win or whether you birdie it and win, it doesn't matter. You're trying to beat the guy next to you. So Justin Rose did not give any particular reason why he did not want to play, but he pulled out as well.
Yeah,
so Justin,
I mean,
Justin
when you got to play,
makes his way in.
So, well, when you got to play elevated events and you're required to play in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that sort of ups it gives you a schedule that you have to attend. It's going to obviously make people not be super incentivized to play
mm-hmm.
other events that they normally would have played in. So I think this is an example of, I mean, not an example of the match play thing was not coming back. Like this
right.
didn't necessarily have anything to do with it, apparently, but like, as far as like the taking the incentive to want to play these
yeah.
type tournaments that aren't these elevated deals because you're still required to play, it's killing these events. It killed
yeah.
it killed the last one, some of the lowest ratings they've ever had at the Valspar. Hell, Tiger played in the Valspar like 3 years ago, three or 4 years ago, almost won it.
Yeah,
And now like nobody wants to play in it because you just had an elevated event the week before, and then you got the Masters coming up.
And then
I don't
the ones
know.
That are and the ones are playing in it, they're contractually obligated. That's why they're doing it. It's kind of like we've talked about that RBC Heritage takes place in Toronto. Every bag is an RBC bag. Like they're all sponsored by RBC. That's the only reason they're playing in it.
I think this elevated event thing is going to massively backfire for the PGA Tour.
And I think it is too.
I think it was. I don't think it was very well thought out. And other tournament chairmen have that were not part mm-hmm. of the not part of those have spoken out about spoken out like this is you just killed us. Like you just made this impossible for us to sell this. I don't know that they thought this out very well.
No, because That tournament chairman you talk about, he went undisclosed. It was a Golf Digest author that wrote about it. And Kyle and I talked about it a little bit, but he used the reference from the Honda Classic. And he said he even talked to the tournament organizer for Honda. Honda's pissed, by the way. So who knows if they'll renew their contract.
It should
because
be.
There are no players rating.
I'm not going to put that all on the elevated events. The Honda's been going down for a while.
Yeah, like, I agree. But the Valspar, like you just said, it was a field that there were some big names that used to play in that. And, you know, I know we use the name Tiger, and of course we know his situation, but still, at the end of the day, you and I talked about it. Spieth was the only thing on Sunday that was worth trying to watch move up the leaderboard and try to get a win, just to get him back in the W column. And he ended up faltering and hitting a ball in the water on 16, which
– Who did win? I don't even know who won.
I've forgotten his name. That's the thing. And so, you know, you got these guys winning. You know, you and I talked about the Honda. I mean, I hate to keep belaboring that point, but out of the top 20 names that finished, there was only one that I knew that was a household name, and it's 47-year-old Zach Johnson. I mean, come on. That's not what you want. It's people wanting to watch on a weekend. And, you know, Valspar going against – and I know it happens every year, but they're going against the NCAA tournament and everybody watching that. You got games all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the first two rounds of the tournament. So that's another thing that killed them, I think. I think if you're going to do these elevated events, Kyle, you're going to have to take some weeks off. Either that or you're going to have to change it and come up with a different format. Whether it's – I know they're doing away with the match play, but you and I talked about how we'd like to see more match play. Maybe they do a limited match play field on weekends that they take off and get that sponsored. I mean, I'd watch that. But this is an issue in golf, man. This is a
– It's hard, I'm going to say something else. And I know we've been pretty pro Liv, not pro Liv, but we've defended Liv.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, their ratings ain't happening right now. Like,
no.
I'm wondering if it's a golf problem in general. Like, if it's just a golf viewership problem in general. I mean, I'm sure obviously everybody's going to tune in for the Masters. That'll be huge. And another thing is, The NCAA tournament does wreck a good bit of this. So, you know, this past weekend was the first weekend of it. It's the most games on the most net on the most TV channels. So that's tough to compete against. And it's not a limited and it's a limited event field. This weekend you got the NCAA tournament again, and it's Sweet 16 and Elite 8, which are electric.
Yeah.
That's going to be going for 4 days. You're going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So,
and on Sunday, there's only going to be four golfers on the course because they only show the guys that are playing
the consolation match.
Yeah, the consolation match.
Yeah. That's going to be tough. I don't know. I think golf, I'm worried. I don't know. I'm worried that maybe, you know, you taking some of the better players out and going to live hurts right there. The limited field stuff or the elevated event stuff doesn't necessarily it helps those events, but it destroys the others. Like it just makes it it doesn't really give you a whole ton of incentive to watch. So they got issues, man. There's some issues that I think have to be addressed.
I think you said it best. It's a combination. It's not one particular thing I think that's killing it. It's a combination of everything. And who knows, this may be working out in Liv's favor. I mean, the PGA may have to strike some sort of truce to have some crossover events where they play each other. Not necessarily to save golf, but to save sponsors. Yeah.
Yeah. Sponsors, title sponsors of tournaments. Like,
yeah.
I mean, why, what's the point of them continuing to pay like Valspar? Mm-hmm. Like if I was Valspar, done. You have to name it something else next year. You're gonna have to name it something else next year because it's not as we can't keep forking that money out, and the fields keep dropping, and the, and the ratings keep going down. That defeats the purpose. You know, that defeats the entire purpose. So it'd be interesting to see what they do moving forward. Hate we're losing the match play. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it this year. And I mean, there's always gonna be some fireworks. So
that anonymous source. There was one thing that stuck out in that article that I didn't really know. I was unaware of. I didn't realize that even on tournaments like the Honda and the Valspar, there are still players that their agents reach out in order for them to be in the tournament that ask for appearance fees. I thought that that just took place like overseas, and I didn't realize that was taking place locally. And that's another thing that's cutting back, is because these sponsors have already told some of these guys, no, I'm not paying you an appearance fee. I'm already forking out all this money on a tournament nobody's watching, so I can't justify paying another $250,000 for you to show up and finish 20th. Like, it makes no sense.
Nope. Let me tell you something that does make sense, and you'll see we're wearing matching hats tonight. Guys, you got to check out Bad Birdie. We're
unplanned, by the way. We didn't plan that, by the way.
Unplanned. You got to jump on the Bad Birdie golf train. I got one of their polos on right now. It's called the Airdrop. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you like cool printed polos that feel amazing, I mean, this thing feels like any, just as good as any Peter Millar that you can buy. The material is fantastic. The prints are awesome. The colors are awesome. And the hats are top notch. Like, yep, this thing's like, it's vented. You're going to have the airflow. It's got the, you know, they got a really cool logo, and it kind of fits with us. You know, we don't have good birdies. Any birdie we make is probably going to be a bad birdie. Like, it's, we got lucky somewhere along the line. It was a bad birdie. But, you know, you can sign up today, or not sign up, log in, use coupon code DADBOD15, take 15% off your order. And then save big. I mean, the price point is very affordable in general. Yeah. You're talking under $80 for a very high quality shirt. And then you get to take another 15% off. So they got hats, they got polos, they got pullovers. We're kind of inching out of pullover weather, but you know, a couple weeks ago it was like 80 degrees. And then just like March, the fickle bitch that it is, it dropped down to 28. It was 28 degrees Monday morning here. Yeah. So it was crazy. My azaleas bloomed for 45 minutes. But anyway, pullovers, shorts,
such an joggers, old man,
joggers, head covers, putter head covers, all kind of stuff. Check them out. Show them some love. Bad Birdie Golf. It's where fashion starts, or something. I don't know. They got to have, I'm sure they got a catchphrase. Play golf loud. How about that?
There you go. That's a good one. Play golf loud.
Made that up just now, but because it definitely does. They got some new spring. They already got some new spring stuff. That's just dropped too. Some 8 new polos. Anyways. All right. Moving on. Again, like this is something that's, to me, I'm a putter guy. So yeah. this is a very interesting story to me. Rory, which I can't, it's a twofold story to me. It's a twofold story to how, being tied to an equipment company, like equipment companies forcing you, equipment companies force you to play their clubs as a part of their contract, almost sometimes to the detriment of the player. And Rory is one of the worst putters on tour. And I don't really, I can't ever remember the last time Rory just hit a big putt, you know, or I felt like Rory's putting lights out. Rory's, I mean, if he can get it close, it's going in.
No, the only big putt he's made all year was the one he made to beat Patrick Reed in Saudi Arabia on the 18th. That was a 16, 17 footer.
That was a big putt.
He drained it center of the cup to win it, to keep from he avoided a playoff. He hasn't putted anything that's kept him in the game since then. He hasn't done anything to keep him in.
And it's wild that he's gone to a custom Scotty Cameron putter, Newport, which is the exact same putter that he won all his majors with, basically. Mm-hmm. So he's going back old school. It's Titleist. It's not TaylorMade. I'm wondering, like, how that whole thing works out. Like, if I'm TaylorMade, this is my thing. I want to sell my Spider. I do. But you know what? The Spider is like a $300-$400 ticket item, and these Stealths are like $600-$800 if you get it. You know, fit for you right with the right shaft and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, if you do, I did it online. Not to throw them shade or whatever, because I told you the new customization where you put the colored faceplate and the trim and all that on it, and you can get it spec'd out with the shaft that you want, grip that you want, length of shaft that you want, all that stuff. The grand total, I never hit checkout because I just, you got to add it all to the cart to see the price or whatever. And when I left it, it was like $970.
Yeah. So like you got
so it's $1,000 driver.
$1,000 driver. Like you got way more ability. Like you're never going to compete. You're never going to compete with Scotty Cameron. They're never going to.
No.
No matter what kind of gimmick, what colors they put on their spider, like it's just never going. You look at the top of the leaderboards like every week. It seems like somebody that's using a Scotty Cameron putter is winning the tournament, winning a tournament. So, I just don't. I think I would probably just. I think they benefit more from Rory being as good and winning as much as possible because he's got TaylorMade every mm-hmm. single thing else. So I would if it were me, if I was TaylorMade, I'd say just ride with it. Do whatever you do. Let's start winning. You know,
but they're not doing that. I told you they followed him around. Two guys followed like around putters with today.
Yeah,
they followed around with two spiders today, so that way he could take some putts during the practice round with those as well as the Scotty, but the Scotty's the one that's in the bag for the first.
It also really hurt me. It also really hurt me for the Scotty Cameron putter to say Roars on it, to have his name on it, because I made a huge argument that that's bad. That's a bad look to have to put a saying or something like that on a putter. That was about the Nelly Korda, Korda putter that said what, like read it, roll it, or something dumb like that. I still think it's dumb. I think it's terrible. I think it's so tacky. Take it how it comes. Let Scotty do his thing. I'm also looking at it from a resale perspective, so I admit that.
I don't think that Nelly and Rory are looking at it at a resale perspective.
And honestly, if you got Rory's putter, it's probably it may increase its value if that with Rory's name on it. But if I put Kyle on it or Rush on it somewhere, it just ruins the putter. You know what I mean? How does that make you feel? Like if Rory put his name on a $5,000 putter, and it probably makes it worth about $50,000. And if we put our name on it, it makes it worth like $5.
I don't know, man. You could probably sell it to some Auburn person. You'd probably get your Twitter handle on there and you'd be fine.
Nah, there's no way. There's no way.
You'd get some bids on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe. No, I doubt it. I doubt it. I'm just saying it's, if I was TaylorMade, I would say I would be more worried about Rory winning than I am what putter he's using. And if that putter helps him make more putts, he's like 173rd on tour in strokes gained putting. It's terrible. And he's losing like half a stroke to the field every single round. Putting. So I'd be cool with it. I don't know.
What the stats say otherwise too. TaylorMade needs to get also his irons fixed. Otherwise that's gonna be the next thing out of his bag. Rory used to be the guy that you knew was going to hit it fairly close and make a putt, even from 220 out. I mean, he didn't have the same accuracy as like Morikawa does, like with a wedge. But still, he's always been known as a good iron player because he can just launch it so high and sit it down regardless of how hard the greens are. He hadn't been doing that lately. He's been missing a lot of greens. And now I don't know if that's also got to do with the swing because he plays best to me when he's hitting that high draw and he's gone back to the baby cut. And I don't know if that's something that he tries to fix or what. So, the putter thing, as long as he's walking around with a TaylorMade bag and a Stealth driver head cover and his
TaylorMade wedges
that he's using. And the high toe wedges that he's using, then call it a win, man, because people go through. Look at Tiger and his putter. Tiger, he benched his gamer for a bit and went that method route and went with the method for a little bit, even had an Odyssey for a little bit.
So did Rory. Rory did the method, too. And that's a sweet putter, by the way. I want one.
I got one. I just don't ever use it.
It's the Newport style?
It's more like a squareback style.
If anybody's out there and has like a Newport style method and you want to sell it,
Go ahead and tell you that method. There's a lot of people make fun of it because it's a Nike putter. I will tell you that red insert thing. That thing is phenomenal. It feels so good rolling. Yeah, it does. It feels really good rolling the ball. So, and Kyle can tell you, I'm more into. I mean, look, I'm sitting here talking about. I got a bevy of putters right here that they're sitting right beside me. So, Like, I'm a putter whore as far as,
I am too,
as keeping them at the house.
I am too, and I just sold a bunch of mine. I'm pretty fired up, so I may go buy some more. I got it. I mean, I don't know what it is. He is the most genius marketing person that's ever lived, because you just – I can't imagine his putter is that much different than others, but everybody just wants a Scotty Cameron. Yeah. Everybody wants a Scotty Cameron. I will never putt with anything but one, unless I get this Nike method, then I'll tool around with it. I just think it looks cool. But I'm looking at one right now with the red insert. Oh man. Yeah. If I can find a little flow neck method, I'm in.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I will say this, though. Titleist in general, like, that they scooped him up to get him to be a designer. And the reason being is because it's the same way with ball. They can say what they want to, but Titleist is still number one ball on tour.
Right.
It is. I mean, I'm sorry. I know we talk about Rory using TaylorMade. Tiger went to Bridgestone. Maybe that's because he and Titleist got into a fight. I don't know. But
the Nike ball, the rumor about that Nike ball too, like, it was always that it was actually a Titleist, but that just had, like, that was, didn't have a logo on it. And they just painted the Nike thing on there. The rumor.
I'm still not convinced that the Bridgestone that he uses is anything that you and I can play.
I don't think so either.
They can say what they want, but they're like, play with Tiger. I'm like, that's not what Tiger plays. I'm sorry. That's not what he plays.
Yeah. He's a pro.
Yeah, he's using a Pro-V. They just have Bridgestone logo on it. You're right. It is going to be interesting to see how well Rory putts with this. He's been on with that mallet-style spider slash...
For several years.
Yeah, for several years. And so for him to come with this and to get it designed... I mean, I understand that they practice all the time at home, and everybody's like, well, he's been practicing. I get that. But competition... When you've got to make a putt from 10 feet in a match play format, or you don't advance to the next hole, do you want the new putter, or do you want the one that you feel confident in your hands? So I think that makes a huge difference this weekend with him. Hell, he could get bounced after the first round. He might not make it out of his flight.
I don't know what this says about me, but I just automatically started liking Rory better now. I just got Scotty. I just automatically started liking him more now that he's got the Scotty.
Such a shame. He's guaranteed to play like ass now. Every time
Kyle starts
liking on somebody, he will be bounced first round because Kyle loves him now.
He will have 40 putts in his first round. It'll be terrible. It'll be awful.
He will do like some guy did last week. He will putt one off the green.
Oh, yeah. 40 putts. All right. Real quick before we go into our scenario. It's sort of equipment related. Let me give you some other equipment news, equipment advice. If you don't have a rangefinder, you need to have one. Mm-hmm. And if you want to spend too much money on a rangefinder, you're dumb. You need to buy a Blue Tees rangefinder. Use coupon code DADBOD, save 10% and get all the features that you would get from the big time. Rangefinder companies, whatever you want to call them, manufacturers.
Right.
Not only do they have rangefinders, I got this on the way. I've checked out already. They got mag towels. So they got the towels with the magnets, hence mag towel.
That explanation.
That's just cool in general. They got Bluetooth speakers that stick right on your golf cart or on, you could hook them to an iron. If you want to walk and listen to music, whatever. Got a Bluetooth speaker on the way. They got divot tools. They got all kinds of stuff at incredible prices. Guys, that Bluetooth speaker, what's that Bushnell one cost, the Bluetooth speaker?
Oh, my gosh. The one that I got $300. Oh, yeah, it was easily $300. I think it was like $249 plus tax. It ends up being like $300 after it.
Yeah, you're talking $130 for a Bluetooth, for a bad, you know what, Bluetooth speaker. It looks exactly the same as the – I really think Blue Tees is just Bushnell in a completely different, completely different color scheme. And it's just as good, incredible prices. Need to check them out. Save big.
With some additives though, with the scan mode that kind of stuff. It's different. Plus, their speaker's awesome. And let me just go ahead and tell you, it's like Kyle said, you can save even more money. You think that get the bushel or whatever they call it, the combo, the family pack, you get all of it.
Yeah, you can combo pack that whole thing up and save even more. So
you can get like five things from Blue Tees for the price it's going to cost you to get one thing from Bushnell, and you'll be all pimped out on the golf course.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, you'll be ready to go. You'll be ready to go. So check them out, Blue Tees, where ranges finders start. All right, so
it's not here's their slogan, but we're going with it.
Here's a scenario, and Rory doing the putter change kind of got me thinking. So here's the scenario, Ben. Okay.
I'm got you. I'm listening.
You get to have a putter made for you by Scotty Cameron himself, or, you know, insert whatever putter designer you love, whoever that may be.
Okay.
I'm talking, you get fitted for it. It's the perfect length for you, the perfect weight for you, the perfect grip for you, the perfect face for you, the perfect everything. Tooled exactly for you. Okay.
Do I get to go to the Scotty Cameron facility and let him pimp it out for me? Okay.
Sure, because you're going to get it on the second scenario too. Okay, you get the best putter you could possibly ever get made from the designer of your choice. Okay. The caveat is, your driver is 20 years old. Okay. I'm talking like R7 from Taylor. If you're a TaylorMade guy, it's like R7.
I think I have one of those Callaway, in my bag in here. If
you're Callaway, it's like a Warbird. Okay. You're like the Callaway Big Bertha Warbird, whatever that is.
Great three-way.
You're not using, you can't get within 20 years of updated equipment with your driver.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where we're at. And it's all off the rack stuff. You don't get the right shaft. You just get the way it comes, essentially. Okay. That's scenario number one. Okay. Tricked out, perfect putter for you, doo doo driver. Okay. Yep. Or flip it. You get to go to whoever club fitter for whoever, whatever brand, and you get to spend hours dialing in the perfect driver shaft, perfect grip, perfect loft, perfect weights, perfect everything.
And irons.
Okay. Let's just do driver. Your irons are just the ones you already have. Okay. Let's just do two clubs. That's too easy. On the flip side, your putter is like no name doo-doo putter from like 1990. So it's like the bullseye, some bullseye type putter, or just something that Slazenger, something they just, you just
not even a good retro putter. Like, you don't get to choose like a Ping or even one of the first Scotties with the Terillium insert. You don't get any of that. You get a Walmart off the shelf or Academy off the shelf, like Champion brand putter. This is what you're getting.
Probably a Wilson. Probably going to be some type of Wilson putter or something like that.
We love a good Wilson putter.
Or heavy, like a Tour Edge.
It's great knockoff. Tour Edge. Great irons.
Maybe Tour Edge. Maybe a Top Flight. Some type of putter like that. Tommy Armour. something like that. That's what you're going to get. So what do you take?
Okay.
You go tricked out, perfect driver, doo-doo putter, or doo-doo driver and tricked out putter. Which one do you do?
I think I feel like I know what you're going to pick.
All right.
So I will say I've got one of those white TaylorMade drivers in my bag, the whatever it is, Rocket Balls or whatever.
Oh.
I've got an R7 down in my bag. I've got an R9. I've got the Sims. I basically hit them all the same distance. I don't think it matters if I got a trash driver or not.
Really?
There's really no difference in them. So I think I got to go.
Is there any specs though? Like, do any of them, like, do they have anything that's like spec for you? Like, or is it just all
only
random
this
stuff?
Latest, only the last two were spec for me. The Rocket Balls, the R7, the R9, they were not spec for me. They were just bought off the shelf. I mean, I got different shafts put in them, but I didn't get, it was just one of those things where I was like, I want that shaft. I didn't get it fitted for me or anything. Right. So maybe that's why they all go the same damn distance, because I'm probably swinging the wrong damn driver. I don't know. I could probably improve my game if I would go and get specced out for one. So I got to go with the tricked out putt. Plus, just held up all those putters, Kyle. Like, I can't very well hold those up on the screen and say, I'm not going to take the $5,000, $7,000 putter that I'm going to get coddled at the facility of Scotty Cameron, and they're going to watch me roll putts for 2 hours and then go build it for me like Thor's hammer in Marvel and just and then hand it to me and bestow it to me like they're handing me a samurai sword to
go. Would you put your name in it, stamp on it?
Hell, yes, I would. It's mine for life.
Oh, man.
Maybe I'd even put F.U. Kyle on it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that way, every time I beat you in match play, I can just show you the putter and just walk to the cart. There's my there's my circle T.
What if it's a wooden driver? You either go you go circle T or a wooden driver, or steel shafted like the first one's Tiger hit. That's your driver.
I still take the putter.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, because I can pick whatever 3 wood I want. I'll buy a 13.5 degree 3 wood and dial it down to 11 degrees and still hit it like a driver.
So you said no. You said you could you'd still take the wooden. You'd hit a wooden club.
I'd hit a wooden drive. Yeah, yeah. Mm. I'm taking the putter. I got to. I don't gain strokes off the tee on any of you guys that I play against. It's either I'm hitting my iron strong that day, or I got my wedges working that day, or I'm just draining putts from all over the green that day. I've never even look at it. I mean, I get doubles from 13 fairways around, and I'm still getting double bogeys because I've sprayed an iron somewhere. Like I need.
Okay, what if you did this? What if you went? You had the choices were. Tricked out putter, doo-doo driver, or either tricked out driver or irons and doo-doo putter. Would that change you?
Yeah, that'd probably change me. If I get driver and irons?
No. You can't get both. You either get the driver or the irons.
If I got tricked out irons, I have to have doo-doo driver and doo-doo putter?
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not doing that.
You just said that's where you lose all your strokes.
Yeah, but I can make them up on the green.
Okay. All right. If I had to pick, I mean, I'm a putter guy.
I love putters.
I love putters. But I'm trying to think. I feel like I lose.
Strokes are off the tee.
Yeah.
You.
But now I'm trying to decide if I want the driver or the irons.
If I'm in your shoes.
And you take driver?
I take driver because you can pound your drive. You get one that's specced out that's almost basically guaranteed you're going to hit it this way every time. Where you got a fairway finder. Like they have structured your swing. They know exactly what, as long as you can just mimic that same swing every time.
Yeah.
I think you would pick up so many shots on the field. You were playing behind us one day on the short par four at AU Club. It was after the par five on the back. Forgot the number, 13 maybe?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah. And so you were behind us. You almost drove the green. I even told the guys because we had a match going against y'all, and I was like, well, like we didn't have birdie. I said, we just lost this hole. Because when Kyle's hitting his driver that far and you've got a pitch and putt into – par fours, like I knew we had lost the hole. And
I think I'd probably go driver. As much as it would hurt to know that I could have a wand, crafted by the wizard.
Every time you look down at that top flight putter, you would be so pissed at yourself.
Mm. Yeah. You're just hoping for a two putt. You know, like please just give me a two putt.
Think that I would get to the point if I had the trashy putter. Well, I literally would get in my garage and try to like shave it down and design it myself. Like I would just, you know, because like you said, when you get it, it's going to have all kinds of bumps and nicks all over it. And it's just going to be terrible. I think that since I can't get it fixed by somebody, I think I would be out there with tools trying to fix it myself. And if I end up breaking it, I just putt with a wedge. I don't know.
Makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I'd have to get it where, you know, you and I have talked about, I'm big on the look of the putter standing over it. And so, you know, look probably first, then feel next. And so, that's why I got a good putter.
I'm with you. I'm with you. It makes sense. It makes sense.
Especially if it's a lifetime of Circle T putters. Oh my gosh.
Well, you just get one. You just get your one wand for life. One wand for life.
But I do get the specs. I can spec it. I can get somebody else's spec one out for me.
You could. You could. Yeah. But I like it. Great show. A lot of fun. We'll be talking back soon. Yeah. So what would you take? Would you take the driver? Would you take the irons? Or would you take the putter?
I think we're going to get some putter answers. They're going to take putter because of Rory switching putters, because of that recency bias. Maybe that had a little weight in my decision. That could have had a little something to do. I mean, that thing looked good, man. I loved it.
The finish is cool.
It's like a goldish finish.
I'm not a big fan of the roars on the back, but it's like a goldish, like bronze type finish. It looks good. Mm-hmm. It looks really good. It does look good. So, y'all have a great rest of the week. We'll talk again soon. Check out Bad Birdie. Check out Blue Tees. Get hooked up. Save a ton of money. This is episode 274 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always
broken.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.